We want to give you glory, Father. Give you the honor, Lord. And I want to see your glory fill the seas, Lord. Lord, it's just, you're so awesome, Lord God. We can't describe the love that you have towards us, Lord God. Just to experience the tip of your finger, Lord, would just melt us like snow, Lord God. Because we can't comprehend this glory, Lord, this awesomeness of who you are, Lord God. And I just ask, Father, that we can, this morning, Lord, just see a glimpse of you, Lord God. Just like Moses, Father, when you passed by him, Father, and you closed his eyes, Lord God, but he could feel your presence, Lord God. And it was in the stillness of the wind, Lord God. The earth will not necessarily shake when you come, Father, but when you speak, Father, mountains tremble, Lord God. The seas resound. And Lord, that is who you are, Lord God. And I just pray that it's a reality for each and every person under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that they would experience you like this, Father. The God of all the earth, creator of heaven and earth, Lord God. By your command, Lord, the earth revolves. And the universe just expands, Father. It's just so awesome to know you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I just need some water. To welcome me, my name is Reinald Pieterse. I'm actually Afrikaans, but I struggled so much in Afrikaans service because I've been having church in English for the last 8 years. So I would almost come to say that English is my church language, because usually I pray in English and all of that. But yes, by the power of Jesus, I will prevail and my voice will keep out. I just want to come this morning and bring you a word that God gave me basically last year and just changed me from glory to glory, changed my life again. And he has touched my heart countless of times over the years. But this is something that I want to share with you that really, it changed me anew. It just gave me a new dimension of who God is, what he is, and what he wants for us. And I just want to start off with reading to you today. And I just want to share the heart of Jesus as described by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prisons to those who are bound. And it's just the heart of Jesus, why he came to earth, to set the captives free, so that each of us might have life and life in abundance, and just experience this life. Because so many times we will go through this life and just see, but Lord, I'm not experiencing this life. What is going on? Why does it feel so dead inside of me? Why don't I hear your voice like that person does, or like Sally does, or this person? And God is just there for everyone to experience, to know him intimately, and not just on the surface, just barely scratching that entity who he is. And one of the most profound truths is that we are a new creation once we choose him. Once we invite Jesus into our hearts, we are anew. And this is so clearly stated in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's just this wonderful, profound, transforming truth that you can enter into this new life just by the grace of God, just accepting who he is into your life and proclaim him Lord of all in your life. And he just takes you and gives you a new face, a new identity. You walk in nearly dead. You don't feel anything, a stone, and you walk out like your heart is set on fire. It's just this amazing, I don't know, this change that you can just experience, that you can see in people's lives that God has really touched. And it's a new person that you see. And it's just so profound, so revealing that God's heart is towards us. But there's one simple truth that is true for every one of us. No matter who you are, what station you are, whether you're the pastor of a church of 10,000 or whoever, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And as it is stated in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this is basically God's standard. He set the standard for us in the Old Testament for the Israelites and said, but listen, if you want to worship me, if you want to be with me, these are the standards that you have to attain to come near to me, to enter into my presence. And it was just impossible. And God realized that he had to make a plan just to be able to bring the people to him. Otherwise, the standard would break the people. It would just not allow them to feel that freedom and his presence. And we've all been there. We all have made mistakes. We've all stumbled and fall. We've all experienced the hurt that we have in this world. And it's just been hung around our necks like a nameplate saying, listen, you have made mistakes. You can't do this. You cannot achieve what is being written in this book, in this word of God. It's unachievable. You cannot do it. And yes, if you try to produce that in the flesh, it is impossible. But by the grace of God, it is something that he comes and changes and helps us to do and to attain. But this is not just one simple event that happens. Yes, you accept Jesus Christ into your life, and yes, he makes you a new person. But that does not make you complete. This is a process that you've started. It's a journey that you've entered. It is not one step and it's done. It goes on. It continues. You have to grow. And especially here in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. It says, and I, brothers, was not able to speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink and not solid food. For you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, neither are you now yet able. And we forget this new life that we've entered in is a process. It's not a single event. We're not supposed to be perfect once you accept Jesus Christ into your life. And that's the mistake that we so often make. Is we think, yes, I'm a Christian. Now I'm perfect. I can do everything. And so often then you forget God. You just forget that he is the one that you're supposed to go to say, God, I'm struggling in this. I'm having problems just trying to get through life at this stage. Even though I'm a new creation, we just get that mindset, I'm a Christian, I have to be perfect. I have to do this, I have to look like this. And we miss God completely. And it's just this false image that we as Christians sometimes hold before each other and say, but I'm spotless, I'm blameless, I've got nothing. I'm a perfect Christian. I go to intercession, I pray, I speak in tongues, I do this, I've been baptized, and the list goes on. And that's my list. I'm a Christian. You see? But inside, you're dead. You've got a stone for a heart, and you've got actually nothing inside that really proclaims the love of God in your life. And that's us as Christians that we sometimes do that. We are perfect. And then other people look to us and say, whoa, that guy's a Christian. Just look at his list, his CV. And think, oh man, I cannot be a Christian. It's impossible. And that's that false image that we show to the world and say, but I'm perfect. I can do this. I've done this. And it's just people look at it and say, but I can't do that. I can't see this grace that they speak of. He's doing this. It works. But I can't do that. And it's this grace that we have to show to the world. I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. No matter what I can do or what I'm able to do by God's grace, but it is something that we have to work towards. And it's one simple truth that we, as humans, not as Christians, have in this world, is that we live in a fallen world. There's lots of pain out there. There's lots of hardships that people suffer in the world. You can just turn on the news and you can look. Just earthquakes, people suffering, dying, wars in Africa. It's just a place. And you look at the word of God and say, but God, where's the peace? Where's the prosperity? Where are you, God? Can't you just stop this war by the snap of your finger and it's done? The people will fall at your feet and they will worship and they will just lay down their guns and it's nothing. And then you have to reconcile that with the word of God, his promises. That is truth, absolute truth. And it just says here in John 15, verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. If somebody hates you, you can be sure that that person doesn't want you to prosper. that person doesn't have your good health in his heart. He basically wants to see you ground to dust beneath his feet, or somebody else's feet for that matter. And it's this just this fallen world that we live in. People do not understand this love, this grace of God. It's foolishness to them. They cannot comprehend that a God would make himself human and come hung on a cross and die. A painful physical death that it was not a picnic on the cross. It's just that Passion of the Christ, I could only watch it once because it was so heart-wrenching to see somebody suffer like that. And I think that was still a good depiction of what Jesus went through. And just the God that he is, who he is as a person, the love that he has towards each and every one of us, no matter who you are, what you've done, he does it for you every day. And this life that we so often go through, we just look at it and say, but God, I mean, you are my God, but I can't feel your presence. I can't see you, your hand in my life. What's going on? I'm stumbling across every stone, every hole in the road I'm falling into, and I can't get ahead. Just as I think I'm touching the life that you have proclaimed for me, I get dragged down into this mud of a fallen world that we call our planet. And it's somebody like Joseph in the Old Testament that actually is a perfect example for us, just how his life, the process that he went through, the pain, the suffering that he experienced, is what most people here on earth do. I will just give you just a short summary of his life, but go and read it for yourself. It's really an awesome story for us just to see how God works with us. But Joseph basically got a promise from God. He got dreams and visions from God. But he got a bit of a big head. And his brothers despised him for that. And they basically salted him, threw him in a pit, and sold him into slavery. And he was cameled off to Egypt, where he got some measure of respect and dignity back while he worked as a slave for Potiphar, one of the Pharaoh's, what shall we call him? I'll just call it the leader for now. Can't remember the name. And then all of a sudden he's thrown in jail again, basically for being falsely accused of something that he did not commit, while he was actually standing on the word of God that was in his heart, because he did not have the word of God like we have, God with us. These promises that he had in his heart that he had to hold on to and say, but God, this is the promise you gave me. This is what I'm holding on to. And he could say, I will not do this. And he was blameless. He was not guilty because he was thrown into jail. He was guiltless. But is that not how we often experience life? We go through life and say, yes, God, I've got nothing, Lord. Just as I think I'm getting ahead, I get dragged back down. It's like you've got this rubber band on your back. Just as you start getting into life, the thing just rips you back and you go, Lord, I'm here again. What's going on? I was just touching life. I was just reaching out to feel your presence, to feel your love, to see your love manifest in my life powerfully. And now I'm back to square one again. And this is something that Joseph experienced over and over and over again. And we can learn from this. And it's one of the keys of my, let's call it my revelation from God, is that his key to his life as well was that he forgave his transgressors. The people, the afflictions that he suffered, he forgave his brothers. And forgiveness, it sounds silly now, but how can you equate forgiveness to this? But you see, Joseph, inside these trials and tribulations, he was able to see God, still live excellently before God, worship God, give him the honor for everything that he has. For he could not have done what he did as he did when he worked for Potiphar. It was something that God had to inspire in him and that he had to strive toward and say, God, I honor you. I give you the honor. You are the one that I honor. No matter what my circumstances are, what I'm going through, whether I'm a pit of darkness, I will honor you and I will forgive those that have wronged me. And we just read here from Genesis 50, verse 15 to 21. Now this was after Joseph has basically saved all the people in the Middle East and Egypt from the famine. And Jacob, his father and his brothers, and as well as his father's household, basically came to Egypt and lived there. And Jacob had died, or Israel died. And this is from where the verse continues. And when Joseph's brothers saw that the father was dead, they said to Joseph, Joseph will perhaps hate us and will certainly repay us all the evil which we did for him. And they sent a message to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brother and the sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save a great many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid, I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke to their hearts. His choice of forgiveness allowed God to use him powerfully. He had the blessings, he had the gifts of God, but God had to make sure that his heart was at the right place, that he is able to use him. If his heart was in the wrong place, he could not have utilized him so powerfully, so profoundly, to affect the nations in such a way. But what does it mean to forgive? It's sometimes such a loose term that we throw about, but yes, I forgive you, God forgives us. But what does it actually mean to forgive? And it was just in Psalms. Psalms, like I said this morning as well, I'm so in love with Psalms these days, I can't stop reading them. And it's just in the Psalm of David that God gives me such a beautiful description of what forgiveness is. It's Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. This is such an awesome picture of what forgiveness is. It's when you cover something. And it's a beautiful example of what God did for us, basically back in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned the first time, they basically lost the glory that God had given them, and they were hiding in the garden and covered their nakedness, which is now symbolizing their sin and their fallenness before God, trying to hide it from God, and covered themselves with fig leaves, a poor substitute. I don't know if you've ever taken fig leaves and tried to sew them together. It's a bit of a sticky mess that itches like crazy. And then God comes to the garden and looks for them, and he asks, where are you? Because they are hiding now. But God never asks a question he doesn't know the answer to. He asks the question to us so that we actually know where we are. What are we doing? Why am I sitting here behind this bush trying to hide from a God that's almighty, that's created heaven and earth, and knows everything? He's here in my heart. He's with us. He's God everywhere. Now I'm trying to hide from him what I myself am trying to avoid. And then the God confronts them. He basically punishes them and chases them out of the garden, but not before he himself covers their nakedness, covers their sin, basically with a blood covering, because he killed the animal. That's the first death that's recorded in the Bible. That he killed an animal to make them clothes, to cover their nakedness, so they themselves don't have to do it. And that's the example of forgiveness that is so clear, that you say, God, there's my sin. Will you forgive me? Can you cover this that I cannot be held accountable for that? By your grace, you will come. And Jesus is that awesome example. Already in the Old Testament, in Genesis, it's just a symbol of Jesus' sacrifice for us. The real blood covering for us that's still relevant for us today. There was another example that Jesus also gave. It's just a beautiful, powerful example of what forgiveness is and why we do it. It's in Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. Then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle his accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him that debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, I will pay you. He refused and went to put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should not you have had mercy with your fellow servants as I had mercy with you? And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is just such a profound statement that Jesus gave, that God deals with us in the same manner that we deal with other people. If we have unforgiveness in our hearts, it's impossible for God to forgive us. It's just something that He cannot do. Because we have to sit down and say, but God, why can't you forgive me? You're the God of grace. You're great. I've got this one issue with this person. And now you want to tell me that you can't forgive me for that small thing in my life. And you're the great God that doesn't want to forgive me. But that's just God's sovereignty, His grace. It's like a give and take. He gave everything from the get-go. And you just have to accept it. But there is a way for us to say, but Lord, I don't believe your word. I don't have to forgive in order for you to forgive me. But God says here that in order for me to fully forgive you every time, you also have to forgive. Otherwise, you create a block inside of you that you are unable to receive what I need to give you. It's just not there. And there's so many times that we as Christians experience this, that we experience this block. God, there's this silence. There's hurt inside of me, and I can't get rid of it. There's this desperation inside of us. We can't get through this. It's, Lord, why aren't you speaking to me? Why is it so still? Why? God, why aren't you the God of this word that's alive and it's freeing us daily? And I'm not experiencing that freedom. And sometimes it's just because we need to forgive first in order to receive the forgiveness, in order to receive the blessing again. Because this is something that God just tells us, listen, you have to forgive. I gave you the example. And Jesus gave that example over and over and over in His life. In Colossians 3, verse 13, bearing one another and forgiving yourselves, if anyone should have complaints against any, just as Christ forgave you, you must also do. And Jesus did this every time. I think it's one of the reasons why people don't understand Him. How could this person forgive so much? And it's one of the most profound statements of forgiveness is given by Jesus as He hung on the cross. In Luke 23, verse 33 to 34, and when they had come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided His garments and cast lots. Jesus had already forgiven us because He asked the Father to forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You can only ask someone else to forgive if you yourself have already forgiven. And Jesus was that prime example that He has that grace. He doesn't even flinch. He doesn't even say, listen, you hurt me, but I'll forgive you. He's got that smile and says, but I love you. I've already forgiven you. It's done. It's covered. I don't see it anymore. And it's just how awesome God is. That grace that is abounds to many. But so many just want to take and accept it for what it is. It's a free gift. You just have to accept it and help it grow. And then Matthew 26, from verse 26 to 28. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many, for the forgiveness of sins. And then God just states it, so clearly. He did this for us. His blood is our salvation, our forgiveness of sin that He covers and says, listen, you just need to lay it down. And it's something that we, when you think about covering something, you cannot cover something that you cannot see. And you do not know what to cover it with. And that's basically what God basically does. It says, listen, you have to reveal your heart. You have to reveal your sin for me in order to forgive you. And then you sit there back and say, God, this is what I've done. This is what I've done wrong. This is where I've erred. I've made a mistake and I ask that you forgive me. And then God just comes and says, I cover it with the blood of Jesus. And He's forgiven. Never will He remind you of that. I don't know what Simon says. He will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. And if you look at the globe, the east and the west will never touch each other. So there's no way that your sin will ever come back to you to haunt you. If that does, it's a lie that you are believing. Because God says in His word, once you are forgiven, it is forgiven. There is no more sin. It's been scratched from that book. And you have to purpose in your heart to forgive and be willing and ready to forgive as quickly as Jesus did, because that will allow you to prosper, to allow you just to experience a newness of life as Jesus did. In Luke 17, verse 1 to 4, and He said to His disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast in the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, repent, you must forgive him. Again, God will not command you to do something that He is not willing to do for you. If you sin 7 times a day and go back to Him and ask for forgiveness in a real way, true repentance, He will do it every time. But He asks the same of us. Will you forgive your brother 7 times a day if he does the same thing to you and apologizes every time? And God will not do something that He does not ask you to do Himself. While I was working on the sermon, God reminded me of a board game, Snakes and Ladders. I don't know how many of you know it, but I think quite a few. I'm not promoting the board game. It's actually not a very good game to play. But I think it's very innocent. It looks innocent and we've all played it. But it's actually Hinduism. The very basic steps of Hinduism in that board game. But how it works is basically you have blocks that you cover. And there are snakes and ladders in. And if you land on a block of something that represents good, you are basically exalted to a higher place. But the actual thing that God showed me is the snake. And it's so true for us as Christians in our lives and where forgiveness comes in. Because if you land on the head of the snake, you are basically taken back to the point way further down that you were previously. And you have to cover the same blocks again. And hopefully you won't fall on the snake again by luck or by chance. Now, like I said, I'm not promoting the board game, but this is a picture of what God showed me of forgiveness and unforgiveness in our hearts. That you basically go and say, Lord, that person hurt me severely. I'm still wounded, Lord. I can't forgive him. I can't let go. And you're walking your Christian life, and you have walking by faith, and you're going through this process, and then you get stuck at that unforgiveness. And you have to walk all the way back to where you were last year, at that point where you got hurt. And God says, you have to deal with this. I cannot take you forward if you are not able to let go of this situation, this hurt, this pain that you've suffered. If you cannot let go, I cannot take you forward. You will go to a certain point and then I will have to take you back because you have to learn. You have to learn to deal with this situation, take care of it, and not allow you to hamper you or make you fall 10 years down the line. For God cannot use you like that. You have to deal with it. Otherwise, you will go through that process again. God, why am I not getting through this process? God, why can I not be there where that man is? God, you gave me this promise 5 years ago. I'm still here. I can't get to the point that you gave me that promise, that prophecy. It's not happening. I can't see it happening, Lord God. And most of the time, it's that hurt that we've experienced, not only as Christians, but before we became born again. It still hurts that we are clinging to way back in the beginning of our lives. It's holding us back now because we can't let go. We can't forgive those that have sinned against us. That hurt us to a very core of our being. And forgiveness is that first step in that complete healing that we can receive. And that's where you have to start. You have to go back in your life and think, yes, Lord, is there something that is within me that I still have to deal with? Somebody I still need to forgive. Maybe I need to forgive myself. Let's just read from Proverbs 8, verse 23 to 36. Now therefore listen to me, you children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not refuse it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life, and shall obtain favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All who hate me love death, loves death. And it's just something that sin so often does. Yes, we wound God with our sin, but we so often kill ourselves in the process. God loves us immensely, and it's like a parent whose children just, something happens. They get hurt, and the parent feels it 10 times worse. I know, remember this holiday we went to South Africa, and we were staying at our parents-in-law in Kleinmond in South Africa. And my wife went to the bathroom, and the little one, we have 2 small boys, and the little one's about 2 now. And he wanted to go with his mother into the bathroom. I said, no, you can't. And the door wasn't nicely closed, and he was trying to push it open. So I just took him out of the way, and I closed that door. And I turn around, and I just see this little mouth, and that scream, that agony, as his fingers were stuck in the door. And it's like my heart breaks to pieces, and it's like, oh. And so many times I think that's how God feels as well. It's just that what we experience for him, it's 10 times worse. His finger's okay, it's not broken. By the grace of God, he's still young, his fingers are still rubbery, so he just sprang back the next day, he was carrying on. Unfortunately, our lives are not like that. Once we've committed that sin, once we have taken that step in the wrong way where God doesn't want to take you, it's not just going to come back by itself. There's going to be steps that you have to take in order to receive this healing again. First of all, forgiveness of God. You have to go to God, repent, and say, God, I'm guilty. I did this wrong. This is the wrong steps I took. And I ask that you forgive me and just lead me again. Renew my life again, Lord God. Now, there's a picture I just want to show you. It's just something that God laid on my heart that we so often have to deal with. I hope you can see it. Now, this basically is a small amount. Sometimes it's just the hurts that we've experienced in our lives. Old hurts. And the new hurts is basically hurts that we experience after we've got saved again. Or once we've got saved. And these hurts are mostly caused by our own sin, mistakes, wrong choices, or just simply disobedience towards God. And the others that are caused by other people is sin for other people that they caused hurt in our lives. Mistakes they've made, wrong decisions, disobedience. There's 2 ways of handling this. For something that we have done, it's very easy. Simple steps. Repentance. God, I was wrong. I did this wrong. There's my sin. There's my mistake. I ask that you forgive me. And God just comes and covers it with the blood of Jesus and says, you're forgiven. That sin is no more. And the most important step after this, you sometimes need to forgive yourself, which is sometimes the hardest. I know for me it's been a struggle just to forgive myself sometimes. I know God has already forgiven me, but I'm still at that place. Why I made the mistake, why I made the wrong decision. I just need to let go and say, thank you God, you've forgiven me, I forgive myself now. Now for other people, the mistakes and the hurts that has been caused by them, it does not require their repentance towards you for you to forgive them. You have to take that first step and say, God, I know this happened. I know it hurt me. And I'm still struggling today. But Lord, There it is. I forgive them. Whatever they did, I cover it by your blood, and so I forgive them. You cover that sin. It does not require their repentance or coming to you to say, I'm sorry. And you're doing this for yourself, not for them. You have to forgive them. Otherwise, you will hold on to that pain and it will not let you go. And it will just drag you down and break your relationship with God until you are unable to even hear or think who God really is. Now there's one thing that we have to remember for forgiveness that is so important. People are not the enemy. We do not need to forgive necessarily the people. Yes, we need to forgive the people, but we cannot blame the people. Yes, they make the choice, they make the mistakes, but we have to free them. It's the sin that they did towards us that we are suffering. The same as for God, the mistakes we've made, the sin we've done. If God looked at us as the person that is the cause of all this damage, He would have long time ago made us dust. And He can just look at us and say, yes, I love you. It's the same with Adam and Eve. He could have killed them right there and there. See, you're disobedient. I do not need this. You're done. Dust. I will start new. I will start fresh. But that's just the grace that God has towards us as humans. And why He sent His Son Jesus to die for us on the cross. We need Him. And we have to do the same to people. Forgive them. It's the sin in their lives that causes it, and we need to forgive them person and their sin and not blame the people. But we cannot do this without the example of who Jesus Christ is and the grace that we've received through Him. If we go to 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 again to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and who gave to us the ministry of this reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not reckoning their transgressions to them, and committing to us the word of this reconciliation. Now then, we serve as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were appealing through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's only by His grace and His forgiveness that we are able to stand here and stand upon His word today. This morning I was reminded again while we sang in the hymn this year about a vision I had a while back when we were just this multitudes of people standing before a cross. And Jesus was hanging on this cross. And you can just, I just get that picture of Passion of the Cross again. And it's just this pain, this anguish. And you just see this head just bow down. And then this face starts to lift up. And you just see this joy, this amazing joy that's shining from His face. And you think, but how can this be? He's on a cross. He's dying. But He's smiling. He's got this joy on His face and this. And at this stage, He was looking right at me and says, I'm doing this for you. If you were the only person on earth accepting this, I am doing this for you. Just as He's doing for each and every one of us on this earth. Giving His life sacrificially. Knowing what He did. But He has the victory. And the victory on the cross is so amazing that we cannot, the 2,000 years later, we are still so amazed by that grace that we've been given. I would just like to invite any one of you that while I was teaching on the subject, if you felt something in your heart, that there was something that God touched your heart basically and told you, listen, there's something in your heart that you need to take care of. Now you can come forward and I will be happy to pray with you anytime. Even to the end of tonight, I would pray for you. But there's something even powerfully that we in church have, and it's F3. It's such an amazing tool just to break those bonds of unforgiveness in our hearts. So if you have not done it before, please go and do it. It will change your life. It will make you a new person all over again. and just allow God to minister into your heart in such an unbelievable way, it just takes your breath away. But if God specifically wants you, there's something on your heart right now, please come forward. I'll pray with you immediately. And then just, if there's people that struggle in this area, I just want to pray for you specifically today. I will be waiting here in front. You're more than welcome to come to here, and I will pray with you. Some other people will pray with me as well. And then the most important part for me is the reason why Jesus died on the cross for us. If you have not accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, accepted that gift, that free gift that's open to all of us, I just want you to raise your hand right now and just acknowledge to God that, yes, Lord, I need that. I need that in my life, Father. I just need you to renew my life, Father. And He is able to do that in such a way that you will not believe. If that is you, please raise your hand. Then I would like to say thank you to everyone. It's been a pleasure to be here and bring you the Word of God. I will just close off in prayer now. Father God, I just thank you for this awesome privilege, Father, just to bring your Word to your people, Lord God. Father, I pray for every person on the sound of my voice, Lord God, that the Word that they heard, Lord God, it touched them, Lord God, and Lord, that you will minister in their hearts and their minds, Lord God, that you will take them from glory to glory, Father, that you will show them, Father, mistakes they've made, issues they have not resolved yet, Father, that's keeping them back from that promise and that blessing that you have ordained for them, Father, that you've called for them, that you've prophesied into their lives, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you will reveal to them your heart, Lord God. Just show them your amazing love, Father, that they can experience it tangibly, Lord God. They will just get to know you in such a way, Lord God, that they cannot deny this, Lord God. That they cannot say, Lord, but there is no God, Father. There is nothing like this. This is all a bunch of lies, Lord God. But God, when we stand in front of the cross, Lord God, it is just so awesome, Lord God, just to know that God would lay down His life, that He would send His only Son, Lord, as a sacrifice, Lord, for us, Lord, the broken people, Lord, that struggle so much in this area, Lord God, just to trust you, Lord, hold on to you, Father, and just to know your love, Father God, towards us is unending, Lord God. Your love will never run out, Father God. If the seas dry up, Father, your love will still be there. When this earth sees turning around the sun, Lord God, your love will still be there, Lord God. And your heart will break for every person that has fallen through the cracks, Lord God. That you held your hand out to them, Lord God, and they refused it, Lord. Not because of who you are, but because of who they think you are, Lord God. A lie. And Lord, I just come and cancel that lie, Lord, here in Swakop, Father. That people will come to know you, Lord God. That they will see your hand, Father, as grace extending from heaven, Lord, to earth. Just your blood, Father, flowing freely, Lord God. And you would dare happily do it all over again, Lord God. Just to set the captives free, Lord God. To break bondages, Father. To make the people free, Lord. And that we might come and experience that life, Father. As it says in John 10, verse 10, the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, Father. But you have come to give life. Give it more abundantly, Lord God. That we might have it in abundance, Lord. And I pray for that life of abundance, Father, for everyone here today, Lord God, that they will experience that life, and they will hold on to your promises, Lord God, the Word of God that is true, Father, it supersedes every natural law that we know, Lord God, Father, and you give it to us, Lord God, that we can read it every day and night, Lord God, and I pray, Father, that they will seek you, Father, seek your face, seek your words in their heart, Lord God, they will keep your word in their hearts, Lord, they will read your word, Father. That's such a precious gift for us to receive, Lord God. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you will keep your people, Lord. Allow them to experience your grace, Father. That you will be with them, protect them as they go out of here, Lord, today.